So I wonder if you can just pray what the Lord's been doing this morning already. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will come and rule and reign, Lord. Lord, I pray for absolute surrender in your people, Lord. Lord, I pray that you come and shine your light, come and show areas we need to bend the knee, Lord. We need to lay down. Lord, I pray we will be a people that look to you, that lift our gaze, Lord. Lord, I pray for those that are feeling like they're in that washing machine, Lord, in a storm, everything being shaken. Lord, I pray we will be a people that don't look at our circumstance, at our situation, at the natural, but we will be a people full of faith, Lord, that we will lift our gaze to you, Lord, where our help comes from. Lord, I pray that you come and reign and rule over us, Lord, over your people, Lord. Lord, I pray for obedience in your people, Lord. Lord, I pray if there's any area where we're rebelling, and even if we can't see it, that it will be a surrender this morning, Lord. And I thank you for what your Spirit's doing, in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you wonder why I got a laptop, I'll explain it. Bessie knows. So when Bessie preached a few Sundays ago, he said, oh no, you need to use a laptop. And I said, why? He said, no, Joey told him that if you don't use a laptop, if you use a phone, it doesn't go well. And then Bessie was looking at me like, but you always use the phone, Uncle Joe. And I was like, joh. So this is me humbling myself. This is me submitted. I'm going to try the laptop. The problem is I do not know how long the laptop battery will last. If you can see, it's not a Mac. It can't last for 2 days. So by faith, we'll see how much of the word we get today. But Joey, thank you for speaking into my life through Bessie. And what a morning has been. And I think Chief said I've had this word for a while, but actually the word kept on changing because I had a word, didn't get to preach it. Then I think Kim shared on some of the stuff, Bessie shared on some of the stuff, and every time I was supposed to preach, I came before the Lord again. And yesterday and this morning, I came before the Lord again to say, Lord, what do you want to do? What do you want to say? So I'm going to try my best. As part of using the laptop, I'm going to try my best to follow notes this time. But let's see how it goes. So if you think about the church, right, the church has many aspects. You know, the word speaks about it being a family, being an army. There's all these aspects of a church, right? But if I break it down into three things primarily, I'd say if we're part of the church, we need to be a people that look up, and that's come this morning, that look to the Lord, that bold in the Lord. And Joey shared on that. He said, remain in Jesus. Remember? You remember the Noah's Ark thing? We need to be in him. And for all of us, that's the starting point, right? If we're going to be what the Lord wants to build, we need to be in him. And we need the Holy Spirit to be working in us. We need the fruits of the Spirit. Goodness, kindness, love, peace, gentleness, patience. Like, there's all these things that we need. And if we're going to be the church that the Lord has called us to be, it's going to take a work of God. It is going to take looking to God. It is going to take a surrender. It is going to take a work of the Holy Spirit. And then there's a looking out, right? We should always be looking out. You know the Great Commission? Go and make disciples. So we're looking up. We should be looking out. Like, who does the Lord want to be saved? And he wants everyone to be saved. We need to be drawing people in to the house. And that's an aspect we should never lose. I think Kim was in Brazil. Jenny just came from the U.S. Was Bronwyn, yeah? Bronwyn was in Gerbau. Where was she? Gerbau. Who else? Maybe some of us went to our neighbors, spoke to our work colleagues. Whatever it is, but we should always be looking out. But today we're going to share a bit on looking in. Because Jesus told Peter and his brother Andrew, he said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And as fishermen, they knew that they were continually casting nets and mending nets. casting nets and mending nets. And that's part of what we need to be doing. Looking out is casting nets, but looking in is mending nets. Remember, we need all three of these things. We can't be unbalanced. If we are not looking to the Lord and we're doing this and we're building a church and we're growing and we look bringing people in, what are we bringing them into if you're not looking to the Lord? And if you're spending time with the Lord, but all we're doing is looking in, inward focused, we've lost the ultimate call that we call to. And if all we're doing is looking out, but there's no care in the house, there's no love, there's no interdependence amongst us, when people come into the house, they will go out of the house. Because there's holes in the nets. And I want to talk a bit about mending nets. And I want to talk about how close we are, how connected we are. But you know, as much as the word that went out today was, Lord, we need you, we depend on you. As much as that word went out, in the same way the Lord says, we are dependent on each other. You know what the word says about we are better together, but a continuous theme in the word is that we are this body. We need each other. What does it say? If you the eye and you don't have an ear, how's your hearing going to be? We need every part working together. And that's a foreign thing to this world, right? It's a foreign thing to this world, because in this world we want to be independent, we want to have our way, do our thing. But Jesus says that the only way this works is together. And I think we need to settle that thing. Because before I can get to the challenges of building this way, I need everyone to understand that this is the way Jesus builds, together. Now, if you think it's me and Jesus, and that is that theme of independence in the world, if I count how many people I see posting on social media as me and Jesus, I don't like the rules of the church, the religious things of the church, and there might be things happening in the church, not right? But that is not the church that Jesus is building. If you think that is the way you can build and Jesus is with you, you are a rebel. Because Jesus said there's only one way to build, and that is together. And through other word, we see, Faith, if you can put up, let me move my notes. Very nice. Faith, if you can put up Ephesians 4:16. For from him the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. See, we need each other. Is there anyone that grew up in a biggish family? Like, you had a few siblings, you had a few cousins, you had a few, like, just lift up your hand. It wasn't just you and your parents. Okay. Now, everyone that had a big family or a biggish family, you know it's challenging. You know that you don't always get your way. Do you know that? If you got brothers and sisters and cousins and you do not always get your way, you have to learn to compromise. Right? You had difficult questions you had to answer. You had to wonder on who is going to get that last bit of ultra-mel custard. Who is getting there in time to break that box apart and get every last part? You had to wonder on what happened to that chocolate that you put in the cupboard. Even when you hide it away, it disappeared. And now we're going to Christmas time, right? We're going to Christmas time. And this is my thing that I have to be very careful of. What happened to my leftover trifle that I put in the fridge? There's questions we need to answer. But you understand that family might not always be easy, but it's incredible. Because we learn that it's not just us. We learn to connect in. And in the same way, we as a family, as a church, need to learn this. We can't tap out and do our own thing, because that is not what we're called to. Faith, if you can put up Joshua 1:12-15. So this is when the guys were about to go into the promised land. Joshua is about to take them into the promised land. And he says, but to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. The Lord your God is giving you rest and has granted you this land.
Your wives, your children, your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan, but all your fighting men, fully armed, must cross over ahead of your brothers. You are to help your brothers. You are to help your brothers until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving them. After all that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you, east of the Jordan towards the sunrise. You see, God's plan has always been to do it through his people together. So when I went through the promised land, and now this laptop switching off. When I went into the promised land, they didn't go alone. There was guys on the one side of the Jordan that already got their land. And it wasn't like, ooh, we've got our land, we're done. There was a thing of, you can help your brother now. And as we advance and as we grow, we don't do it alone. We're going to help each other grow. Now, as the Holy Spirit convicts and works in us, who's he going to use? Your brother and your sister. Who's going to speak into your life? Who's going to challenge you? Who's going to encourage you? Who's going to spur you on? Who's going to call gifts out of you? Your brother and your sister. Do we see that we do this thing together? Move on. So one thing I want to say there, and it just came to me now, is when we get saved, we didn't even get saved alone. I don't care if you had a dream about Jesus and you woke up and you said, Lord, if that's how you got saved, you still didn't get saved alone. People were praying for you. Someone prayed for you. Someone shared the gospel with you. Someone invited you to church. Someone encouraged you. Someone corrected you. Someone challenged you. Someone picked you up. Someone dropped you off. Someone did something. Someone watered, someone planted, but God saved you. And I would say we do this thing together. And if our salvation came through each other, our walk has to be together. You did not get saved alone. Why would you think that you walk this journey alone? And I think the challenge for us is independence versus interdependence. You know it's hard to know you're dependent. We depend on each other. Do you know that that goes against the way of this world? Everything in this world today is my way. My opinion. If I don't like it, you can't even deal with it. As arguments, as fights, as cancel. Interdependence is very foreign. We need to be a sticky people. With double-sided sticky tape. Because we can't just be sticky together, but as people come in, we need to be people that draw and stick them in, right? Because a sticky people is a people that has seen something, that has seen the goodness of God, the salvation of God, the family of God, the life of God. When you see that, you want other people to be part of it. When you see it, a sticky people is a people that have laid down their lives so that they can find it in Christ. And that is what we call to. Is there any, if I had to ask you, who knows of a few sticky people in this church? Theo? Are you saying you sticky? I'm asking, are you sticky? Okay. The question is, you can't nominate yourself? Don't nominate yourself. Who knows of any sticky people? Just mention their name. Bessie, okay. So we got Bessie. Anyone else? Leroy? Michelle? Which Michelle? We got 17 Michelles. Michelle B, okay. David? Okay, I got four. Five is okay. Tanya? Okay, we can't say family. Who else? Okay. Nick? Nick's not here. Give me another name. Huh? Chris, okay. Charles, no self-nomination, brother. Huh? No, we can't. Present people excluded. Faith, I see you there behind. But that is true. If I had to think on the people I thought of, I did think of Bessie. Bessie's always organizing, connecting people in, organizing events, connecting people into comp, prize parties, whatever. Funny enough, it's never by his place. Like he's organizing by other people. Hey, we'll have a bribe at your place. You know, so you're doing well. But for you to know, Bessie just moved out. You're moving in when, Bess? First of Feb. First of Feb, there'll be bribes at Bessie's house. Right? Leroy, I heard him shout him. I think if there's someone that's brought more people, if we had to do a stats for the year, I think Leroy has brought in more people this year than anyone else. Just hard to draw people in, to connect. Leroy sucks at putt. He's amazing at being sticky. Leroy is the big, Leroy looks like Tiger Woods when he eats, eh? We played yesterday. He had all the moves, but yeah. No, okay. Who else did I have? Okay, I had a few people, but I'm not going to go through all of them. I'll mention an OG couple. I don't want to just do the newish, the young guys. I want to mention some old people. JP and Kirsty. So JP and Kirsty, if you have to get testimonies, they're the people that invite the most people for lunches, for dinners. They will go on a walk on the beach and they'll put a message on the group. Oh, we're going to the beach. Anyone want to come? I think half the time, nobody comes. Because it's like, oh, it's work time, whatever, but they throw it out there. And they're not getting offended that if no one pitches up, because they're sticky. Because they understand that we keep on drawing in. You don't try once, no one pitches up, I'm done. It's a persevering, continuing, walking in the call of God. And then there's prickly people, right? Ask the person next to you, are you sticky or are you prickly? You don't have to answer. So who do you think is... No, we won't do prickly. We won't do prickly. And I think the challenge with prickly people is that the Lord is moving us from being prickly to being sticky, right? So it's fine, but you need to understand, you need to see that there needs to be a shift in you. Because the Lord is working in all of us. There's some thorns, there's some sharp things in all of us, just some more than others. And I think there's the primary thing is, do you trust? Are you coming from a place of hurt? Are you independent? Do you want your way? That is a prickly people. Are you always looking from your perspective? Have you picked up your life and done it your way? Because always you'll be easily offended if you picked up your life. If something happens, no one invited me, you're going to look from that lens. You're going to look from a lens of rejection. It's going to be hard for you to connect in. Because I tell you now, if you're going to connect in to these, to each other, you're going to be offended. You're going to have opportunity to be hurt. You're going to have opportunity for people to speak into your life. And you're like, whoa, I didn't like that. But that is what the Lord has called us to, because that is how we grow. By us sharpening each other. And sharpening each other, same like nets that get frayed, doesn't come without a cost. But it's going to take a continuous surrender and doing it God's way. And unless you learn that, I want to say this. Learn. It's fine to fall. It's fine to make a mistake. But learn from it. Don't continually fall in the same way, because the enemy doesn't get tired. He will continue to use the same strategy if it worked before. Learn from your mistake. Pass your test, because that is how we grow in the Lord. That is how we mature in the Lord. We need to be a sticky people. The laptop's gone off again. Joey, this laptop thing's not working. It's not lekker for me, bro. But this thing is too late to change things now. But it is that, right? And I think everyone sitting here right now, most guys would think, no, but I am sticky. But I want you to, how do you respond to things? Let's say you miss church. You don't come on a Sunday. You miss a service. And people reach out to you. Hey, where were you? How are you doing? Is your response going to be, why are people so religious? So controlling? Want to tell me what to do? I can must take off on a Sunday if I want. Yeah, they're very, oh, people's forward, bitching. Too much in your face, in your life. Like, is that the way you respond? What happens if nobody calls you and you miss a Sunday? Because you know, some people will fight for, like, either way. You can go left or right, you're going to get a fight. What happens if nobody calls you? I can be like, yo, there's no love in this church. No, yo, what happened to family? It's hypocrites. What about now in festive? You know, there's going to be a lot of getting together. Because the challenge is in festive, like Joey was saying, is that during this Christmas time and festive time, before, in the normal part of the year, we got structure. And the worry for us as leaders, as elders, is sometimes the structure is hiding something. So structure can be, oh, we're getting together on Wednesday, we're getting together on Sunday, now and then the comm is getting together, the comm leader is calling something, but that is structure. But if you take it away, will it still happen? Because if it still happens, then it's the work of God. But if it was structure that kept it in place, then it was never God in the first place. And I think that's a challenge for us now. In festive, often, it's an easy place to get offended in it. So what's going to happen when you're on the socials, when you're on Instagram, and here you see some of the people you know in church, or some of the people in your comm, they're having a beach day. Or they're having a lekker meal out somewhere. And no one invited you. Is your response going to be, yo, it's so lekker to seeing the people doing life together? Or is your response going to be, oh, it's like that? It's like that now. I see now. Nobody cares here. There's fake people here. I thought we were friends. I invited them to my party, but I didn't get the invite back. And then you withdraw and you step away. Look here, sticky people believe the best. We'll keep on believing the best because that is what the Lord called us to. And it is hard to do it God's way, but that is where we find life. And really the question is, when I ask, are you sticky or are you... It's really, have you found sonship in the house? Or are you still an orphan? Because an orphan is insecure. It's reactive to everything. A son is content, peaceful. Things are happening outside. It's not easily shaken. Another way of putting it is, are you a sheep or are you a goat? Now, we're all sheep if we say, but you have goat tendencies. Because we're a work in progress, right? We're a work in progress. We are a work in progress. The Lord is working in us. And I want to say that it is important that we understand the world wants us to be goats. I've watched videos, and I've shared this before. I wish I should actually get it. I've seen videos of sheep, right? Like on YouTube. The shepherd looks at a dog, looks at his shepherd dog. The dog hoys, he comes. Like, literally a minute later, all the sheep are gathered. They follow each other. They fall in. Then I've seen videos of goats. Yeah. Especially baby goats. They, like, there's 10 goats. They're all going in different directions. They're jumping. They're clapping each other. They're jumping into each other. They're ramming into the shepherd, bruh. Whatever they're doing. But it doesn't look like like people that want to follow. Like, goats are followers. But, you know, in this world, we all want to be goats. I like, you know, when I see those videos, I'm like, yo, I want to be a goat. I want to be jumping around. Nobody tell me. I'm free. I don't have to follow the shepherd. I want to be a goat. And the thing of this world, the direction of this world is, I want to make my mark on the world. I don't need anybody. I don't want to follow. I want to lead. And the strength, the spirit of this world is, be a goat. Stand up. Be you. It's very hard to be a sheep, right? A sheep. You know, people even use like a sheeple. Like you just follow. Who wants to just be a follower? Well, we do. Because the word says, Jesus said, follow me. If you're following him, you're a sheep. And you know the shepherd's voice. That's what we're called to be. And it is hard because it goes entirely against the things of this world, the way of this world. Everything in this world, everything on social media, everything that bombards your brain is be the best you can be all you can be. Nobody must restrict you from being. Nobody must put you in a box. Nobody must control you. Nobody must. But it is in those places where you will find life, where you are, where there's a struggle, where you will grow. Off again. So let me just check my time. Joey, do you know when I started? Could have passed. So I'm going to quickly go through this. Comfort and preference. That's one of the things that we're going to struggle with. Right? Because like I said, if we are in this world, there's a thing of comfort and preference in us. Even when people come to church for the first time, they look at the church and they're looking at their preference. They're looking at, how's the worship? Is it real song worship like I like? Is it African-style worship? Is it punkster-style worship? Like the preaching. What type of preaching is it? Kids' church. Youth. How's the coffee? Is the coffee at a good enough standard for you to join? There's all these questions that we have. What about looking at the people in the church? No, there's no, they're not friendly. Oh, no, they're too friendly. Yo, they're too. Yo. You know, if you're going to find someone that looks like you, that fits exactly what you want, you're never going to grow. Because you're going to fit into a church that's a cookie cutter for you. You want to fit in a church that doesn't look like you, that's going to shape you. Can you put on Matthew 7, 13 to 14, please, Father? Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it. And the problem is that the challenge is that often we're looking at the wide gate. If you want your own way, wide gate. If you don't want anyone to speak into your life to correct you, wide gate. If you don't want to be challenged, wide gate. And the problem with the wide gate is it feels like freedom. Like when you're doing your own thing, I can tell now it'll feel like a. It's like nobody tells me, yo, I can do whatever I want. It's amazing. It's wide. It's open space. The Lord is with me. But now it's just your flesh that is happy. And the wide gate leads to destruction. But the narrow gate, when we're doing it together, when we're sharpening each other, when you're rubbing up against each other, when it doesn't feel like freedom, when a leader needs to speak to you and challenge you and say, here's the boundaries of the word. You can't, there's not complete freedom. There's boundaries in the word. That doesn't feel like it. That feels like, that feels hard. But narrow is the gate that leads to life. Okay, move on. And so when I came to this church, I was like that. I'm an ex-prickly. I'm a recovering prickly. When I came to this church and I was like, okay, first when I got saved, I was like, I learned about tithing. Who knows that wasn't my preference? Because I've got the Catholic background, I used to give 100 rand into the thing, maybe 200 rand on a good Sunday, into the offering box. And then I came here and they said 10%. And I worked it out in a calculator. And I was like, I need to find a cheaper church. Because that's... And then I came to Josh Yen and it was also 10%, yeah. And I had to say, okay, that's, I had to lay down my preference and submit to the word. I remember I came here and everyone, when I came to Josh, it felt like everyone was a surfer. Not everyone was, but it felt like that. Look, I'm even wearing, is this a surfer thing? I'm wearing a surfer thing. I have been assimilated. I don't surf, but I can. And I remember coming here into this church and the lingo, bro. Hey, bro, that's sick, eh? I'm empty. I'm like, what are you talking about? I know what it means now. Gnarly. I'm like, up to today, I don't know if gnarly means good or bad. Shall we? What does it mean? So good. Does gnarly means good? I always thought it means bad. Good. Okay. So you see? So it was challenging. And I was like, yo, this isn't for me. And even now in the camp, I won't share the words that we taught Joey. But Joey taught me a word, and he taught me a word called? No, the other one. Childish. So if I tell you, yo, that wave was childish, who knows what it means? What does it mean, Michael? Huh? Hyper awesome. Who knew childish means that? In surf lingo. So I came in, I was like, yo, this church is not for me. I don't even understand what they are saying. And I stayed Bustani, one, three, stay. And I was in this church for 2 years. Like, yo, how do I fit into this church that where the people is foreign to me? And I had to learn that this is God's people. And I had to learn that if I feel like a fish out of water, and if you're here today and you feel like a fish out of water, know that you're going to add something to us. Don't be like, I don't know, you will add something to us. Because the kingdom of God is diverse. It says every part has a part to play. It says if we're all ears, if we're all surfers, if we're all noses, then if we're all noses, how are you going to see? If we're all ears, how are you going to smell? We need each other. I want to say, give yourself to what the Lord is building. The other one is isolation. I think Kim spoke about that. If you are quick to isolate, quick to get offended, and disappear for a few months, or disappear in your heart and withdraw in your heart, if you know that is how you operate, know that that is a dangerous place for you. Who watches National Geographic, where the lions or whatever is attacking the stuff, the springbokies? Who did I get? What's their plan? Isolate. When I get you isolated, you're in a dangerous place. And Kim shared a bit about that, but I want to say for us as God's people, the word says that he leaves the 99 for the one. So if there's someone not here today, call them. How are things going? Can we have a coffee? Not you must come back to church. Can we have a coffee? How are things going? You listen to what they're saying. Hear their story. They might be hurting. They might be going through a tough time. Because that's what we call to. And on the, I'm not going to get a chance to do this, but I'll do the last one, real discipleship. Now, why would discipleship push us away from each other? Because when we get born again, we are born into discipleship, into getting taught and trained up in the ways of God. And you know, one-on-one discipleship is amazing, but you know that we disciple each other? Through being in each other's lives, through speaking into each other's lives. When Jordan was born, my son was born, it wasn't, oh, you're born now. We didn't leave him on the side of a stoop and say, well, you're born now. Let's see how you fight. Yeah, you might make it, you might not. No, he came in, Tanya fed him. When he got teeth, you weren't like, oh, now you can maybe eat. You're on your own. When he could speak, we weren't like, okay, you've advanced enough. He's 24 now, but we're still there. And I say this is a lifelong thing for all of us. Joey still needs to be discipled. I still need to be discipled. And I say the reason it causes a problem is, can people speak into your life? When last did someone speak into your life? Do you ask people to speak into your life? Do you invite it? And how do you respond if someone does? So, where is Hervé? So Hervé, when my car was dirty, I won't put the picks up. Faith, put the one pick up quickly. No, the other one. So Hervé wrote on there, please wash me. But underneath they put, save water. So firstly, when someone speaks into your life, discern what they're saying and see if it's wise. Because there, I must wash my car and save water. I'm not sure, bruh. And then Cheryl wrote on the side of the car, please wash me. And she put a name there. Well done, Cheryl. You identified yourself. You didn't undercover come and speak into my life. But actually, a few weeks ago, someone spoke into my life. Someone I don't really know well in the church. A lady came to me, and she said, Joe, I need to tell you something. But don't get offended. I'm like, whoa. Look, don't get upset. Whoa. And as she kept on pre-explaining, I was like, you're just going to be hectic. And then, but she did love sandwich it with one slice. So the first part of the love sandwich was, no, when you preach, I love it, and the Lord does something, and she encouraged me, And then the polony part of it, the hard part, she said, when you do the altar call, you suck. Like, people's confused, like, you're sharing about bending the knee, and you're sharing, like, unsafe people don't understand this. And as she said it, I knew it's true. And I thanked her, I hugged her, and I said, thank you. And I went away, and I spent time with the Lord, and I am trying to be clearer when I do the altar call. I didn't go, oh, me would have been like, but you know, in this year, how many times have done the altar call? Do you know how many times people have gotten saved? Do you know? But I knew there was truth in it. And I want to ask, and we didn't have, it's not like we knew each other very well. So, can anyone speak into your life in the house? Some of the most incredible words and or things that I got spoken into my life has been from people I barely knew. And I'm going to say, be open to that. That is how we grow. Be open to that. Can you submit to leaders, even if you don't agree? Because actually, that's submission. When you don't agree, that's submission. And I tell you now, here's the escape from not submitting to leaders. Here's the ribbon, here's the key that unlocks all of that. But God told me. When you're dealing with people and they do not want to submit, the default is, but God told me. So I don't have to listen. And ask you, can you submit to your leaders? Because if it is God that told you, God will bring it to pass in his time. Do you know leaders can't stop what the Lord wants to do? Can you wait on God? And the last one is, can someone hold up a mirror to you? So when you, if you're critical, when you say, now there's no love in the church, there's no this in the church, the people don't serve, I'm doing everything, there's no family. I invite people, they don't invite me. Can someone hold up a mirror to you and say, if everyone in this church was exactly like you, loved like you, was committed as you, served like you, how would the church look? Don't be critical, because we all are weak in different areas. Because if we weren't, we didn't need each other. Because if you are here, you're weak. You're weak in seeing. You need an eye. Don't be critical, but encourage and help. Okay. So I wanted to do about offense, but I'm out of time. I'll go to one scripture first. Can you just put up Matthew 5:21-23? If you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who said to his brother, Raka means offend him, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. I'm going to say that for us, we can't be holding offenses. We must be quick to forgive. The word says that we must be a people that forgive quickly because we've been forgiven. Like, if you've seen Jesus high and lifted up, if you've seen how you've been forgiven, you will forgive. When Jesus taught us how to pray, he said, forgive me as I have forgiven. Can you say that? And I think sometimes we think Jesus understands, but Jesus doesn't understand because he died for this. And if you don't forgive, Faith, can you put it back up? you are in danger. This is actually a different version. The version I had actually speaks about if you have the altar, leave the altar. Leave the altar and go away. And I'm going to say, whatever you're doing, if there's offense in your heart, stop. If you're worshiping, stop. That's what the word says. You're like, Lord, take it all, take my life. I'm bringing it to the altar, but the word of God says, stop. Make right with your brother and come back to the altar. Because Jesus said that you forgive because he forgave. There's another parable Jesus speaks about the servant that wouldn't forgive. How he had the person that owed him by the throat. Let us not be people that hold people by the throat. Let us be quick to forgive. On the land that, yo, we're in this thing together. We're on this common mission. And, you know, we will one day again talk about looking out, but looking in, are you fighting for unity? Let me tell you, it's not going to come easy. It's going to take a work of God, the Spirit of God. But are you fighting for unity? So now ask if is anyone here today that you know, sometimes you're independent. Sometimes there's a thing of preference and comfort your way. You know that you often get involved in arguments, in offenses. You might, maybe not right now, but you know. You're going to get offended or you're going to not forgive and then you have to fight for that. Maybe you're hurt and you're withdrawn. Maybe you're quick to withdraw when something happens. Maybe when someone doesn't invite you in, you stop. Maybe you know that you're not as closely connected as you should. Maybe you know, Holy Spirit, I need you to connect me. And let me just say, for me, I know my posture is always, my place is always, I'll stand up for these times because I know I'm independent by default. I now want to do my own thing. I have to pull myself. I have to call on the Holy Spirit. I have to say, come and shape me and change me and mold me. And I have to push in to the house. So now, if there's anyone like that, Lord, I need you in some of these areas to become closer, to be connected in, to understand how you build. Just stand up. I want to pray for us. Stand up. If there's anyone here that is like, Lord, I need this. Lord, I need to be drawn in. I need to be closer. Thank you, Lord. I'll give you time. Just wait on the Lord. If there's any area you know, Lord, come and work in me. Lord, I pray for every person standing, Lord. And Lord, I thank you that we cannot do this on our own, Lord. I pray that you come by your Spirit, Lord. And you work in every heart. Lord, you come and you bring down every wall. Lord, I pray that you come by your Spirit, Lord, and that everything that we resist, Lord, will be brought to surrender, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we'll be a people that fight for unity, to be knitted together in love. And Lord, I pray for the battles of everyone standing, the area they're standing in, that you will come, Lord, and set him free. That you will come and give him victory. That you will come and give him victory in their mind, Lord. Victory in their hearts, Lord. And they will have an overcoming spirit. So I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. I thank you for the unity and the closeness and the love and the oneness that you're building in your people. In Jesus' name. Now, if there's anyone that needs prayer in this, come to the front when you're done. I want to do one more thing. So I do not know everyone here today. And I do not know if everyone's saved. And you know, Jesus, he came and died on the cross so that we can be saved. The word says that we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. The word says that the gift of God is eternal life. That Jesus came and died, and it wasn't easy. It says that he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, Father, take this from me. I don't want to drink from the cup of wrath, but your will, not my will. And if you've never given your heart to the Lord, or if you have, you're a lost sheep, you have drifted from the Lord, the word says that you are in danger. But Jesus came and he made a way. When he died on the cross, he came to reconcile us to the Father. When he died on the cross, he paid the price. So with all eyes bowed, eyes closed and heads bowed, I want to ask, if there's anyone here today that says, Lord, I want to give you my life. Lord, I want to come back to you. Lord, I want to do it your way. Lord, I don't want to lead my own life. I don't want to be my own king. I don't want to do it my way and be a goat, Lord. But I want to be a follower of you. I want to lay down my life so I can find life in you, Lord. Lord, I don't want to live in death, but I want to walk in life. Lord, I don't want my eternal destination to be away from you. So ask if there's anyone here that says, Lord, I need you today. Just lift up your hand. Just lift up your hand. You've never done it. I see that hand. Anyone else? Say, Lord, I've never given you my heart. I want to lift up my hand to you. I choose you, Lord. Can you put your hand down? Okay. Like I said, if there's anyone that needs, well, first thing, can we just celebrate what the Lord just did? I'll come pray for you now, bro. I'm going to come pray for you now. Thank you, Lord. The word says that there's rejoicing in heaven for everyone that gets saved. Okay. So I'm going to say, if there's anyone that stood up that needs prayer, you know you need more prayer, come to the front.